I pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear from you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your faithful servants who recorded your word, Lord, and it has been preserved over the years for all who will come and partake. So tonight, Father, guide us into your truth. Might your Holy Spirit, Lord, be our teacher. Might we rise up and call you blessed, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you can take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Psalms. We pick up our study tonight in Psalm 52. Psalm 52. We read to the chief musician, Amaskal, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. We know the story, for we read it in 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22. David was fleeing from Saul. He was afraid for his life, of course, and he headed towards Bethel, and he stopped at Nob and talked with Ahimelech, the priest there. And David lied to Ahimelech, actually. He said that he was on a mission for Saul, which was not true. And so Ahimelech provided for him bread, sustenance for he and his men, and the sword of Goliath. And during that time, Doeg was there, a warrior. And so he went to Saul and told Saul all that had unfolded there. And it resulted in the death of Ahimelech and many of the priests and their families there in that place of Nob. And so David writes this psalm about Doeg and that event. We read, why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Thy tongue devises mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. Rather, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of the dwelling place, thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. So as we consider that story, we realize that God and his goodness endures in spite of evil. As we see there in verse 3, we're told that some set their hearts on evil. Doeg was one of those. He was a man who had a heart set on evil. And as we look at that and we read about it and we look in our world about us, we realize that there is evil in this world, but so many people don't want to acknowledge evil. They don't want to acknowledge that there is pure evil at work in our world. It's the only thing really that will explain what the things that we see, the carnage and the brutality and all of the things that are unfolding around us. We just need to open our eyes and see the evil. Doeg ended up killing 85 of defenseless priests because he could, and all of those that were associated with them. But that is the way of natural man. We see that in verses 3 and 4. You love evil more than good, lying rather than to speak righteousness. You love all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. So all of those things characterize the natural man, the natural woman, the one who doesn't have faith in Jesus Christ, that transformative faith, that transformative experience as God comes into a life. Verse 6, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. So David would tell us in those verses that the righteous will see and learn from these experiences of life. The experiences of life. We need to understand, even as David is telling us, where true security lies. He says, I will trust in the Lord, even when things get very dark and very difficult and very challenging. We can trust in the Lord, and he would say to us, even in the midst of this challenge and his memory of what unfolded there at Nob, he says, I am like a green olive tree, prospering in his way. It kind of reminded me of Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it tells us there later on in that psalm, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And that's what the Lord is doing in your life and in my life as we sink our roots deeply in the reality that our God is good, that he's still on the throne, regardless of what we see around us, and that he is doing his work. He's unfolding it in perfect time. And he's using you, he's using us to that end, and that is such a blessing. Psalm 53, we read, to the chief musician upon Mahalath, a maskil, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquities. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. This psalm is really an echo of Psalm 14 with some minor changes. But what we see there at the opening of this psalm is that it is the denial of God, which is the root of wickedness. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. There is none that doeth good, or they are corrupt. It explains a lot in our lives, the things that we see around us. The things that we see around us are the fruit of the root of wickedness. That's what they do. That's because that's who they are. It really is an indictment of man. But what it does for you and for me is it provides freedom from self-righteousness, because what he says is, there's no one that's good. And then we heard it even earlier tonight during worship, that Jesus would say, only God is good. And we can say amen to that. We know that very well in our own lives, in our own hearts. He goes on there in verse 4, have the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat up bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encamps around thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. There we're told that the fear of God fell upon the enemies of Israel. We saw that as we have journeyed through the Old Testament. You remember when Joshua and the crew went into the promised land after they crossed the Jordan. You remember that they were told that the fear of them had fallen upon the people of the land of Canaan. God had done that. That fear fell upon them in preparation for the people to come in and have victory in the battles that they fought. G. Campbell Morgan said, the fear of God is either an impelling motive leading in the ways of life, or it becomes a compelling terror issuing in destruction. You see, we've been set free from fear if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because we have the Spirit of God within us, and perfect love casts out fear. We don't have to fear because we know the end of the story. We know where we're headed. We know our destination. Now, it's not to say that fear doesn't come into our life. Sometimes it does. It did in David's life. He talked a lot about it in the Psalms, and yet he knew what to do with his fear. He didn't allow his fear to captivate him. Rather, he would take his fear and he would take it to the Lord, and he would cry out to him. And he would say there in verse 6, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come. That terminology, salvation of Israel, is looking towards Messiah, looking towards the millennial reign when he will come and he will rule and reign. Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Messiah, he is our salvation. We know that he's come once. He came as a lamb to be slain for us. But he's going to come again, and he's going to come as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yay, that'll be quite a scene. And so all of these things are unfolding in our lives, but God is going to do his work. He's going to unfold his plan. In Psalm 54, the chief musician on Neganoth, Maskell, a psalm of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? They were not David's friend. Twice they betrayed David when he came with his men to their city. But that's what the world will do. The world will betray us. And we need to know and understand that. That's why our relationships with those around us need to be wise relationships. Our deepest relationships need to be with those who are not of the world, those who have a personal relationship with the Lord, know him personally, because we're walking them the same pathway, and we can be friends with them because we know that we are one in spirit. Those that are of the world, we will have relationship with, and I thank God for that, because it gives us opportunity to share, to minister, to love. But we need to realize that they're of the world. As nice as they might seem, or as friendly as they might be, they're of the world. And so they're marching to a different drummer. They are children, as the scripture says, of the evil one. And we just need to know that. So God is at work. He says in verse 4, behold, God is my helper. Can we say that tonight? I hope so. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies. God is building a good work. It's not a question, it's a statement. In your life, in my life, God is doing a good work. And he's building an amazing thing. Matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says that you are a work of art, a poema, a poem. God is writing a poem in your life, one that will be recited into the lives of others. And we should be like David. We should be bowing down to him, giving him thanks for what he is doing in our lives. Because as we do that, not only does he receive the praise, honor, and glory that he deserves, but it puts us in that place of humility and blessing, because we're in that position where he can bless us. In Psalm 55, to the chief musician on Neganoth, Maskell, a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Have you ever felt like David? God, have you forgotten me? Where are you? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you there, Lord? Knock, knock. Sometimes we can find ourselves feeling like David, seeking God's face, but not sure that he's listening. He says, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Another way to say that is, I have a heartache, Lord. My heart aches for what is going on in my life. Much of David's writing was birthed during hard times. And that's true of our lives as well. The sweetest notes that are sung come from a heart that has gone through difficulty. The passion that we express as we realize that God is ministering to us. Burdens, guys, cause us to go to the burden bearer. Fearfulness, verse 5, and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. Have you ever wished you could fly? Lord, I just want to get away from the pressure. I just want to get away from the pain. I just want to get away from the difficulty. David longed for rest. He wanted to flee away. We find ourselves in that place sometimes, but God is always sufficient to meet us there and to carry us on, to carry us through. And I'm so thankful for that. In verse 8, he says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about upon the walls thereof, mischief also, and sorrow are in the midst of it. The wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in the company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The question is, escape or endurance? For David, he writes about one who was his friend, who betrayed him, who turned against him. Not really sure who that is, but I tell you, Ahithophel could fit that bill, if you remember him. When Absalom was going to rise up against his father, Ahithophel was David's counselor. But when Absalom came against David, Ahithophel turned against David and supported Absalom, and he may be writing about that. Sometimes we will receive difficulties from those that we least expect it. Don't be surprised, because it can happen so easily. Peter would say, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. David was betrayed by a close friend, even as Jesus was betrayed by one with whom he broke bread for 3.5 years or so in Judas. Perhaps you've experienced that. I don't know. But God can bring healing into our lives. Guys, only Jesus can change people. One thing it is a challenge to you and to me is that we need to be steadfast and true. We need to be faithful to one another. We need to stand strong in the midst of a rather difficult, as the scripture says, crooked and perverse generation. But God has given us a treasure in the body of Christ. Be steadfast. He goes on there in verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abides of old, Selah. Right in the middle of the verse, David says, stop, Stop and think about this for a moment. You need to call out to God. In verse 16, David really is talking to himself when he says, "As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me." That was David's confidence. That was his assurance. That was his hope. And it is ours as well. He will hear. It's not might hear. Our God always hears. Never let the evil one discourage you or dissuade you from praying because you think or are being told God's not listening. He is listening. He's always listening. He always hears. He goes on, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. David knew that reality by personal experience. And many of us could say amen that to that as well. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Commit the problem to him tonight. God's sustaining power will carry you through, and our stability, your stability, is found in trusting the Lord. That's where you'll find hope. That's where you'll find healing and restoration. Psalm 56, to the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Rechokim, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. There it is. David says, I want you to know that I am sometimes fearful. But Lord, in the midst of that fear, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Trust brings rest. David found it to be so. Every day they rest my words, verse 5. All their thoughts are evil against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. I love this verse. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Mark that down. That's something that we need to embrace and understand and know. God is not against us. God is for us. We have the attention of our Heavenly Father. Sometimes people will twist your words, will twist our words. But God knows and understands. He keeps a book of remembrance and a book of life, and he knows your tears. And we've all shed many over various things. But God is for us, and he will see us through. In God I will praise his word, in the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. The prophet, I believe Jeremiah, was told, do not fear the faces of men. And it's easy for us to find ourselves in that place. In verse 12, it says, thy vows are upon me. O God, I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? In the margin, you should write, I'm a keeper. God would say, you're a keeper. I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to see you through. You are a light in a rather dark world. So let your light shine, that our Heavenly Father might receive the glory. Psalm 57, to the chief musician, Altashith, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. Do you get the idea as you're reading through those verses that David is feeling rather chewed up by the enemies that he has? There are lions in the wings, David says. We know of one lion for sure that Peter talks about, the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The good news is we're on the side of another lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is greater. He's seeking to chew us up, but in Christ, he has been made toothless. The best he can do is gum us a little bit and make us uncomfortable. But our God is greater. And what happens as we have that hope, it leads to praise. Right in the midst of all of that that David's declaring there, he breaks out into praise for his God. And I love that. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. We sing that song. And it's powerful. In verse 7. David says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I guess he wants to add an exclamation point there because he said it twice. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Are you a morning person or an evening person? God says we need to awake early and spend time with him. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. My heart is fixed. Lord, I want my heart to be fixed. James talks about the heart, the mind being double-minded and being unstable. Lord, we don't want that in our lives. Jesus would declare in Matthew 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto the wise man which built his house upon a rock. We know that story. We can build upon the rock or we can build upon the sand. We choose. And David says twice, Lord, my heart is fixed. Lord, give us a fixed heart. Help us to learn to praise you in the early hour, that it might set the tone for our day. Psalm 58, to the chief musician, Altashith, Miktam of David. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? He's now talking to the judges. Yea, in heart you work wickedness. This could speak very much of today in our judicial system. They would do well to pay attention. In heart you work wickedness, you weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stops your ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. They lose contact with reality. They become insulated from truth. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. You know, as you read these things, it's kind of hard, you know, because in the New Testament context, we're told we're supposed to love our enemies. David says, I just want you to bust their teeth out, Lord. I want you to just take them down. You ever feel that way as you're looking at things going on around us? Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bends his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judges in all the earth. There is judgment coming. And we can rejoice that God's judgment, God's truth, will prevail over evil. The thing that we don't want to get caught up in is trying to take God's judgment into our hands. That's not our job. We need to pray. We need to cover things with prayer. We have difficulty with David's prayers in this nature because we look from that Christian perspective. But seeing God's work in you encourages others as they see how you respond to those things that happen when the world would rise up and try and strike down that one which is coming against. God's people respond in a different way. And that is such a wonderful testimony of God's changing power. In Psalm 59, to the chief musician, Altashif Miktam of David, when Saul sent, and they watched the house to kill him. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from the bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. David's crying out to the Lord, and this setting is at the time when he's in his home, he's with his wife, Michael, and Saul sends his men to go and to take David and to bring him that he might be killed. Michael tells them that he is sick. And so they leave, they go back to Saul, and Saul says, I want you to go back. I want you to get him in his sick bed, bring him to me that I might be able to kill him. David, we know then, was let down out of the house through it with a basket by Michael, and he fled and escaped. And so he's crying out to God, and he's crying out with a clear conscience. He says, Lord, I've done nothing. This attack was a result of Saul's jealousy. And it's a good lesson for us. A clear conscience, guys, frees us from doubt and fear. If we know that we have done right and people are saying wrong against us, we can respond with the reality, Lord, you know, I know that I've done nothing wrong. I have a clear conscience. This is the principle of a clear conscience, it's called. Somebody wrote once that a clear conscience makes a soft pillow at night. And so we need to do what David did back in Psalm 51. If we find ourselves in that place of not having a clear conscience, it says we need to confess our sins to him because we have sinned against him and be restored to him that we might once again experience that peace. But he says, Lord, awake to help me, and behold, verse 5, thou therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. Go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. It should remind you of Psalm 2. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me or go before me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. God will come to meet me, David says. I know he's there. And like David, we need to wait when people are coming against us. Verse 11, slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God rules in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And in evening, let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. That's one thing for sure, is that sin is never satisfied. It's like eating a meal. You know that eventually, before too long, you're going to be hungry again. And the same is true with sin. We begin to partake of sin. It may satisfy us for a moment, but it's going to create a hunger in our lives that will not be satisfied. And we need to be careful of that. He says in verse 16, I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. I love the fact that David's lot was one of praise in spite of the circumstances. God has always been the defense of David, and David declares that. And the same is true of us. He is ours as well, if we will let him be. But so often we want to take a hold of the reins to fix the problem that exists or the situation that is unfolding rather than waiting on him. You know, the scripture says, in returning in rest, you'll be saved in quietness, and confidence is your strength. But I have to say that there's times when the heat's been turned up in my life that quietness and confidence isn't necessarily my tendency. I want to deal with the situation. I want the pressure to be relieved. Lord, help me to do what I need to do to keep the pressure relieved. And he says, sit, Mark. Sit, stay. I'm working here. It might take a little while. Psalm 60, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, and that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. David will remind us in those verses that inattention and disobedience bring confusion. And that's exactly what he's describing here. If I'm experiencing confusion in my life, then I've lost focus upon the one who is my center, Jesus. Because there's only one that's the author of confusion, and that's the evil one. If I'm in confusion, I need to stop. I need to back up. I need to go to that place where I was on track, and I need to begin again. I need to seek the Lord's face. I need to go back to that place where I had peace with him and allow him to do his healing work in my life. God has spoken in his holiness, verse 6. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my watchpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off? And thou, O God, which did not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of men. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. David would say, all the land is yours, Lord, and it's through you that we'll find victory. The wisdom of men is vain, empty, failing. And that's why James says, if we lack wisdom, we need to ask and he will give it liberally. When you don't know what to do, you need to cry out to him. I need to seek his face. I continue moving forward one step at a time and allow him to guide and direct. I need to leave those things with God and resist doing it myself. Psalm 61 to the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. That's a song we sing regularly. How powerful is that? Overwhelmed like an ocean wave, as David fled from Absalom, he built his trust in the Lord. I go to the rock of my salvation, for thou hast been a shelter for me. And David was not disappointed because God met him. In verse 5, as we close, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Guys, we have, like David, a rich heritage. And it should move our hearts to sing, to worship our Lord. David says there in that closing of that psalm, so I will sing praise unto thy name forever. And that's exactly where we need to be. We serve a great and awesome God, and he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. May we choose to worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We do indeed have a rich heritage, Father. What a gift, Lord, you have given us in your word. It is rich, it is deep and wide and high, Lord. Help us, Father, to be students of your word. May it propel us, Lord, into an ever-deepening relationship with you. And in the midst of the storms, Lord of life, may we find what David found, that refuge. You are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our very present help in trouble. I pray that each heart here tonight would be encouraged in you. Refreshed, strengthened. Might we go from this place, Lord, equipped and prepared, Lord, to impact this world for Jesus in our families, in our workplace, in our communities, Lord, in the world at large. I pray the Lord would refresh and encourage you, that he would strengthen you tonight, that he would draw you close, and that he would fill you afresh with his spirit, and that you would experience the wonder of the richness of fellowship with the God of heaven. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.